Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Who knew Timothy Chalamet had a thing for painted Xbox controllers? He was introduced as modded controller 360, the name of his now deleted YouTube channel, before announcing Game of the Year.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasler, and with me, as per usual,
reporting in from Not the Game Awards, it's me. I just want to thank my dead friend. Oh, okay, fine. I guess I have to go.
Hello, yeah. My name's Adam Knox, and I'm a movie star, so I'm going to talk for 50 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to promote my thing that I'm vaguely involved in, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm getting talk some money from.
I'm going to talk about my moon boot.
Yeah.
Simu Liu talked about his moon boot. So you wouldn't have seen this, Tommy. You were away. The Game Awards happened. Welcome to the show. My name's Adam Knox.
The TGAs or TGAs.
Just TGAs.
Mm-hmm. Why do they call it the ATM machine?
It's
the TGA Awards. The TGA Game Awards.
TGA Game Awards, brother. They happened last week on Friday. You were away, Tommy.
I've watched all the trailers, just sort of in isolation, but not. I didn't sit and watch the whole presentation.
Didn't see any of the patter, any of the banter.
I was reading an article yesterday about
fancy lad.
What was the thing before the Game Awards that Keighley was involved in that I think he did for 1 year? There was something that came just before it.
He was on like Spike TV or one of those ones. I don't remember which, but
it was the equivalent of the Game Awards, but it was before they pivoted and changed it. Anyway,
maybe it was for whatever. It was either Spike TV or there was another one like something G4.
I think it was Spike TV, but I think he'd like not been doing that for a while before the Game Awards.
Maybe so.
Yeah,
he did this thing for 1 year that was like called VGX or something that then the Game Award essentially turned into the Game Awards. But it was this big thing about how Nintendo were there and it's like the dark days of the Wii U and their big reveal that they'd chosen to do was to announce that Cranky Kong was going to be in Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze and then it leaks a week before that anyway from a retailer listing. So they're just up there being like, A, we're already announcing news that like who gives a fuck and B, everyone knows it all already anyway and we've started doing our Nintendo Direct, so why are we doing this?
Hey. We've come full circle.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some announcements and stuff that I didn't know were going to happen, but as a show, watching the whole 5,000 hours of it, this was the one I enjoyed the least yet. Yeah. And I've got a high bar for like, or a high tolerance for bullshit, for like branded bullshit.
Yes.
And cross that line for me somehow for the first time.
Well, these things always, it's like it feels like there's a bit of a surprise year of like, oh, wow, this is the new, this was kind of better than E3 in terms of announcements.
Right.
And then that turns into the weight of expectation of like, you've seen it maybe the last 2 years really especially where people are like, this is the shit now, especially now that E3 doesn't happen same way.
That's a really good point. And it is also, this was the slickest one in some senses so far. Like production-wise, they were more put together than they have been in the past.
Yeah.
Like everything sort of flowed how they wanted it to, but how they wanted it to isn't good.
Yeah, it felt more like, I don't know, like an industry expo rather than an awards show, which I think was what a lot of people got annoyed by the most this year. It wasn't like a lack of announcements or anything. It was like, why are you treating the games themselves and the people who make them as afterthoughts?
Absolutely.
It feels disrespectful. Wait, and I guess, you don't get that not watching the thing,
but that
which
is...
I didn't watch all of either because I got extremely bored.
You
about
took a nap in the middle,
in.
I remember, because we were chatting away in like the Patreon Discord and then you came back and you're like, I slept.
And it's still going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is also, I mean, that is the interesting thing about the fact that, yeah, it is held up now as this place where stuff gets announced. Mm. But it is an award show. And I feel like we've said this years in the past. It's like, you don't tune into the Oscars and just get a bunch of new trailers for the first time.
Yeah.
It's just about the awards.
With the right mixture, it's fun.
It's cool, yes. Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, a screwdriver with too much orange juice, you're like, this screwdriver's too wet to take out the screw. But like the drink, I mean. But too much vodka and then you're drunk, too much orange juice, and you're like, what did I pay for?
Yeah.
And this was too much of whichever one.
It's a hell of a metaphor.
Probably vodka, I guess. Yeah. It put me to sleep, so it's not orange juice. Sure. Probably.
Too much Crystal Skull. Vodka, the branded, and it's you're just getting an ad.
Not
for
enough
it
from, Dial of Destiny orange.
Yeah.
The two genders.
Yeah. It's I can't believe that Indiana Jones is a Dial of Destiny now.
Amongst all of the things that are notable about it, I feel like the one thing that is, well, one of the things, one of the many things that is holding it back from being a credible awards show, is that Jeff Keighley is a terrible host. He's really awkward. Mm. When he tries to do comedy bits, they are just cringe-inducingly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He's like a decent...
He has no personality, really,
well,
either.
He's a decent interviewer and, like, journalist-type guy. Sure, like, when he was talking to Sean Murray and, like, there's a couple of bits where it's like, oh, this is your wheelhouse.
Right, yeah, hosting G4 or whatever, but not being, like... And Jimmy Kimmel is
the equivalent of Jimmy Kimmel. Well, but he's good at what he does.
Sure. Like, yes, he's like the bare minimum of like a charming guy who can deliver jokes,
right.
and has, an element of charisma.
When there's plenty of good presenter performer people who like video games, you could get like. Get Jack Black to do this.
And I don't even think that would be the answer, though, because the worst parts of this were the Jack Black equivalents. Simu Liu, Matthew McConaughey, Timothy Chalamet, and Jordan Peele. Like, the number of famous people who they got to come out.
Right.
All the Fallout people were there. Like, so much of that. And that was, again, like, guys, this isn't about you. And you don't seem to know where you are.
Yeah.
This is the most boring thing you're doing this week.
And from what I've been able to gather, the devs don't really get their time in the spotlight at all.
No.
Like the people who made this thing that we're sort of here to celebrate.
That was the big thing that they've gotten a bit of backlash for over the last... If you don't know what we're talking about, by the way, the Game Awards, I mean, I think we've made it clear, but like they are... The devs do not get, and this is the backlash, enough time. They were played off after moments.
Right.
It was 30 seconds was the timer they had up in the control booth.
Which is crazy.
Jeff Keighley being on Twitter being like, yeah, I agree, it wasn't long enough. Well, hey, guess what, brother?
Yeah.
You've got the remote.
Yeah.
I guess I'll kick that upstairs to the boss.
I feel like the playoff is meant to happen when it's like this person is taking the piss.
Yeah.
Not just like... 30 seconds come hell or high water, that's happening.
There's a lot of difference between 30 seconds and 8 minutes, which was Christopher Judge did last year. And then he even spoke as a presenter for longer than the devs got to accepting their awards.
And there were elements where it was like, yeah, him making fun of that, that's good. That's a funny callback to last year. And it was delivered with the right amount of good humor.
Yeah.
But beyond that, it was a bit... corporate, I guess, a
it's
bit stale.
It's overproduced or something as a show now, where it lost the soul of that thing is in the developers celebrating video games, and then that gives air to the more like and spend some more money on video games trailers,
right?
And without the like, hey, these are good aspect of it, and not even without it, but with it being stamped on.
Mm. Well, it should be. This is all the stuff we loved this year, and then hey, here's some great stuff that we're going to be enjoying next year.
One of the developers of Baldur's Gate 3 was sitting there in a suit of armor up top, suit pants down the bottom.
Yes,
business and pleasure. Two
different kinds of suit.
And him being up there for moments before being shuffled off.
Yeah.
A, he could have taken them. Yep. He's wearing armor.
Yeah.
But like B, it's just like, oh, that's
for
like,
game of the year.
It sucks to have this award be presented to you and then moments later be kind of humiliated.
If you can't let it rip. Accepting your main award of the night.
Right.
And some of them had, I'm so sorry, I've forgotten their name, but the
I forgive you.
The person who plays Astarion in Baldur's Gate 3 won Best Actor, deservedly so, did a great job in that game. A bunch of that cast was great and was like, had this good speech about how much it meant to hear back from people who played the game and been like, I felt represented by this game, and that's so rare, and that, and like it's that's cool, and.
Did they get played off?
Absolutely. Yeah. But as an actor, luckily, was able to use that for swelling inspirational music more so.
Yeah.
Like the devs especially, they're not media trained in that way. They're totally not like sure. ready
they're
to...
deer in the headlights for like the first 30 seconds they're up there.
Of course.
Yeah.
And they're people who, unless you're like Todd Howard or Neil Druckmann.
Who
like
Todd Howard wasn't anywhere near that stage.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But like, unless you're like those, in those rare like cases where they someone. Become yeah, personalities in their own right. Well, so much of your work is like not very well paid, very thankless, very in the shadows. Mm. People beat a game, they get the credits. They're probably not even, you know, they're probably not even watching it. They're just being like, I finished the game, turning it
and
off.
And that's
so.
If you're lucky enough to be in one of the award categories that they spend any time on at all, where so many of them get, and look, best esports personality of the year personally, go nuts, say that off air. Mm. But like.
That all, like ironically for other people is like that has a huge like groundswell of you know like popularity and support and like real fans who feel connected to those names that we don't have any idea who they are, but like,
and like
they just reel them off. RPG, I don't think even like it just they don't get a clip played when they get
best
read
action
out.
Game
like,
didn't, but best action adventure game did get to be on stage.
I understand the difference.
Anyway, this is the big whinge opening, obviously, but like it sucks because if they're given the responsibility of being the biggest video game event overall of the year now,
like, and I'm like they took that responsibility
exactly,
but,
and like totally like. And to their credit, like, we're able to seize on it, but this is, like, a moment of, like, oh, be careful.
Cause yeah.
It's a shame because
it's
all...
sucked to watch as a show.
Yeah.
And so, like...
Yeah. It's all, like, they've invented it themselves. Like, it's not something like the Oscars, which is now...
It's on NBC or whatever,
so
right?
far down the line, and it's and there's multiple... And I guess that's starting to happen with this, even though it is just streamed online. But, like, yeah, you have a real opportunity still. It is early and small enough for it to just... be whatever you want it to be. Like you can pump the brakes on this stuff if you want to.
Split it into two if you need to or something. I mean, I understand that the money is being made through those promotions on there, but like if you don't have time to fit in announcements and awards, then don't do them in the one block.
Yeah.
And also like spending ages, like let's get Hideo Kojima on stage so we can suck him off for a fucking hour.
Yeah.
It's like, and like, you know, congratulations on his stamina, but a long section of, anyway, whatever that's that about it as a show and as a thing. But having said that, some of the stuff that got announced seemed pretty cool.
Yeah. Lots of good announcements.
Stuff that we've seen.
See, this is the way to live. Just be busy every year when the actual thing is on and just wade through all the through half a mix of half good interesting looking trailers and then half cinematic showing nothing of the gameplay, all looking the same, same soundtrack, indistinguishable from one another.
Have a spare day. Watch the whole thing. Question everything.
Yeah. Have a nap. That's my tip.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah, we've got all approaches covered here.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start? We've got a big list up there on the whiteboard of stuff that was announced.
Yeah, I think they're roughly, other than a few, in like sort of chronological order from the show to because they had sort of, they call it a pre-show where they had Sydney, someone or other.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say. Great host.
Yeah, she was
so
good.
Much better than Jeff Keighley. It's and like popped up during the main one to do like a little ad read or something, or maybe just a minor award. I was like, this is a real host.
She's good. And like delivering the, you know, they've got the type of award show jokes you think and delivering them well and all that stuff.
Yeah.
They had a bit not Rizzo, his mate.
Oh, Gonzo, yeah.
Gonzo.
Yeah. And Jeff.
Which I swear Gonzo's voice is pre-recorded.
I thought the whole thing was pre-recorded and they just chucked a green screen of the Game Awards audience.
we're at different levels of conspiracy here.
I must have misheard some part of this story.
No, you haven't.
So there was this
Gonzo the Muppet.
Yeah,
the
sketch Muppet. With Jeff Keighley and Gonzo the Muppet.
The little blue... The puppet.
From the Muppet
with the
show.
Nose, yeah.
And this
yeah.
was in the Game Awards.
And it was unrelated to anything Muppets, right?
I don't remember what they were talking about. The chicken was there as well. You know the chicken Muppet?
I literally think it's like, I think I read like He just has a Muppet on once a year because he likes the Muppets.
What?
There have been Muppets in the past, for sure.
I'm leaving.
I can't really remember what they're talking about because it's like trying to recall a bad trip or something where you're like, don't want to dig back into that part of my brain.
It was a joke about Gonzo only playing games with chickens involved and pitching like chicken-based games.
Gonzo said Tears of the Kingdom, though. You'd have liked that.
And then Link comes out and slashes up the chicken and it gets all his little chicken friends to fuck him up.
Yes.
You wish.
Yeah.
I mean, he said that, so it kind of happened, yeah.
But so they had a little pre-show thing where they announced
which
a few...
you can still get pregnant from.
By the way, you saying that you thought Gonzo's voice was pre-recorded? Mm. So you don't think Gonzo was actually speaking?
I don't think the Muppeteer was speaking. I know how Muppets work.
I don't think that's the real Gonzo's voice.
It doesn't even make sense because wouldn't it sound scratchy and felty?
Yeah.
They had a few like indie game announcements and stuff like that in the pre-bit. And within this too, within the whole show, there's some trailers that just showed new stuff of games we already know about.
Yeah.
Also some cool announcements. Pony Island 2 Panda Circus got announced, which is Pony Island 1 and Inscription are the same person.
Yes. People.
And Pony Island's the thing he did before Inscription. So, I was watching this and being like, oh, this is so sick. There's something new from the Inscription guy that I can play. And then being like, oh, I never played Pony Island. I should go. I was kind of like, as I was watching it, forgetting that it was a sequel, I was like, wow, who can tell what this could be? I'm like, well, I know one way I could find out.
Yeah.
Play Pony Island 1.
Wish I could understand what numbers meant.
I just completely forgot that that existed. And it just, everything in this trailer looked so off the wall and unique that I forgot, like, it didn't register as like, oh, well, this is obviously a sequel to something.
Right. Yeah, that same. I also didn't play Pony Island, but the sort of mixture of formats and visual styles and like a bit of like sort of FMV stuff, like which I guess is his kind of trademark.
I think both Pony Island and Inscription had the sort of like evil video game going on.
Did you play Pony Island 1?
I don't think so.
Yeah, right, okay.
But I did play The Case of the Golden Idol.
Yes.
Which there is also a sequel to called Rise of the Golden Idol coming out next year. So for them to put out 2022, Golden Idol 1, 2023, two DLCs, which are both good. We didn't play. We played some of one of them for the channel. I went and played that second one.
Oh, yes.
Just on my own. Fucking loved both.
Yep.
Same level of quality. And then this.
They've remixed the style.
It's
like a sort of. What I don't know, how would you describe it? It's sort of like a PC. Early PC game kind of...
Like how, not quite this, but like how Curse of Monkey Island looks to the first two.
It
looks... It's cool. I like this kind of style, which not... I can't think of too many... I'm surprised it's not like a more popular aesthetic choice. Mm. I think the Shovel Knight people have kind of done it where they like... That first Shovel Knight is in the NES sort of style and then by the time they get around to doing... what is it, Pocket Dungeon and Dig, they look a bit more like they were developed for the Genesis or the SNES. That thing of it sort of looks like as if you're imagining that, the leap in technology in a home PC in the 3 years since the first one had come out.
Right.
But then it's sort of this like oil pastel kind of drawing that doesn't really look, but you're right, it like looks upgraded, but not quite in a style that was... a noticeable style from a time, you know, it looks good.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell also, how it'll look, like whether the game play and what you're doing has changed much.
I would be surprised if it had, to be honest, just because it worked so well in that first game.
I would hope they wouldn't fuck with it, but...
Maybe creases in the mixture or whatever.
As you say, like, it's a short turnaround time, so unless they started working on this... As soon as they, you know, like shipped Case of the Golden Idol, this
it should have been Curse.
Yeah,
yeah, it was Cursed.
It was Cursed.
Maybe that's a spoiler.
They added in like sort of more smoother frames of animation into the DLC, like how the characters were moving.
That's
that.
Right. Yeah.
So this does feel like just sort of a linear kind of. So it looks great.
Yeah, still those tableaus, but just like the visual style of them is like a little different and a little more fluid.
Love that first game. Yeah. Stoked there's a second. Similar to Thrasher, which got announced, which is the same people who did Thumper.
Yeah.
Which was a really cool rhythm game, sort of driving down a track and dodging obstacles to the like Beat Saber a bit. There's a bunch of games like it.
Right. It's a pretty traditional rhythm game. Like a Guitar Hero, but you're going on a little roller coaster. Like,
Rez is kind of the same.
There's one that I can't remember the name of that let you use any sort of MP3 and it would generate the courses for you.
Winamp, years ago.
Looks cool.
Yeah.
Looks cool.
Rezzy looking, yeah.
Looking at the trailer, I was like, oh, this must be a VR exclusive. And it is on VR, but it's not exclusive, but it just definitely, it looked like you're doing a lot of like moving your hands around to sort of like shoot things in the air.
Thumper had a great VR.
Right, exactly. Yeah, same approach, yeah.
There were two trailers. We've gotten a million trailers for Persona 3 Reload, but they showed some more of that, and that's out in not too long.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that. I never played the original. It looks cool.
Yeah, this looks like a really good upgrade too. Like, it looks very nice.
It does. Similar to Metaphor ReFantazio.
Yes.
Which this, like, I was already like, cool, the Persona people are doing a fantasy thing. Mm. Awesome, sign me up. But that first trailer we saw didn't portray as much of the character of the game as this one did.
Yeah.
And I was fully fucking
sold.
This
looks sick. Yeah. I remember this had the same thing in it that I remember we laughed about when we saw the trailer the first time. So the trailer comes on, first time us not knowing what it is. And it it's the Atlas logo and it's like, from the creators of Persona 3, Persona 4, Persona 5. And we were all thinking, wouldn't this be so funny if it just now is like, here it is. Persona 6.
Yeah. I'm so glad it's not, because this looks this trailer really showed the sort of point of difference and the reason that they're doing it as a separate thing, because it is like a fully fantasy, like, interesting, weird, cartoony world with all these little critters running about the place.
It had this cool like title credit sequence where it was like, character design, the person's name, and then it'd be like notable works. And then there was one where it was like a guy fucking in some like weird steampunky bus thing. And it was like the credit of the like vehicle design by notable works, Neon Genesis Evangelion. It's like, okay.
Yes.
We got some real heavy hitters in this one.
Yeah.
Because it was the same thing. It was like notable works, Persona 3, 4, and 5. It's like, we've been through it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's all there, but it's like, hey, no one on this team can draw a bus to save their lives. We need to get a bloke in who knows machines.
Yeah.
This bus looks like a person. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah,
I drew robot people.
Yeah.
Of course I can't draw a bus. Why'd you hire me?
Yeah. But yeah, all the steampunky sort of mechanical stuff in it looks, so sick.
Real silly, like high fantasy story as well.
Yep.
Complicated politics, which, I put in the chat, like, it looks like Atlas Final Fantasy 16, aka it looks like a good, to me, version of
I thought the same thing. It's that flavor that I felt was kind of like missing in the lead up to Final Fantasy 16, where it's just that little bit sillier.
And a great, like, just a good mix of like, oh, I understand what this game is now, but I know nothing about it.
Right.
And I want to see the whole thing. That's out still August or something next year, I think they said.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
And it's still, even though it's its own thing, it's still got that, the menus look very Persona. So it's clearly just got that same sort of presentation and like beautiful UI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool, like, proving of like, no, this is separate.
Yes.
Not separate to World of Goo 1 is probably World of Goo 2.
Yeah.
Remember that game, World of Goo?
One of like maybe the first indies.
It was a very early, like,
I remember it
was
on
get this
Wii.
On Steam, you can get this on like Wii, and just you can download the whole game.
Right.
It was on the Wii shop, and it was a big thing of like, hey, this is just this thing that like a couple of people made, and it's not full price. It's just like that beginning of that,
it was in
stuff
that first era
seep
for
into
sure.
consoles. Yeah,
it was like on Steam. There was like Darwinia and fucking some nuclear one, and then like Braid, I feel like, was one of the early big. But this is in that same group.
Yeah,
for sure.
Very, very early days. I vividly remember seeing the first one, on the Wii shop, and it being. That being the first time I had heard about the concept of, only being able to get it digitally too.
Right.
Was like the big thing of,
and
like,
it's not
$80. Yeah.
I didn't like the first one. It's like
back.
it's a bridge building sort of game or building structures to, pass tests against those structures, like a fucking work team building exercise with matchsticks.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Is my memory of it.
I do not.
I'd never played it.
I don't understand why a second one
It's I could have 15, understand
a second one being made, but yeah, this long
15
after
years
the fact,
later, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Seems I guess strange.
16 by the time it comes out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nutso.
Nuts.
Speaking of nuts, they might get a bit sweaty if you go for a big walk.
Hey.
Which is the new thing from the people who made Goose Game. Who are locals, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy this trailer.
Really?
I remember you saying in the chat, like, this one's not for me. Yeah. And I could tell, like, Ben's being measured here and he hates this. And
no, I just didn't think that it looked fun. And I think there's something about it being, like, pretty... Like the landscapes are very Australian.
Yeah.
They're very Australian, like, regional country Victoria almost. Like, yeah. You know, like Bendigo, Ararat. Like, that's... And it's like... I don't... I want to see something... Like, and it's very...
I like that shit because I'm a Patreon.
Right.
I'm a fucking Patreon.
I want to see...
you want it to be
a
like...
jungle or something.
Yeah.
Or you know, it's just like... Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's too familiar.
So it's online, right. Multiplayer. It's like you get a little crew together. You go on a hike, and there's little activities and things that are sort of happening along
the
way.
I think so. That was my impression of
it. Yeah.
They didn't expound on it too much.
No.
Expound or expand?
Both,
yeah.
Why
yeah.
have two words?
They
yeah,
did
yeah, yeah.
Someone just mispronounced expand once, and then they were like, no, expound's a word too.
But yeah, they
I'm
don't.
I'm a fucking Patreon.
They don't specify. That's good.
Yeah,
that's
that
a
is
good thing to
that's
be.
Really good.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They did
without the T, absolutely.
They did not say if it was online co-op or a single player or what the whether it could be one or the other or both or like yeah.
Yeah, it looked very much like a co-op muck around type of thing, which should be fun.
Yeah, I thought it looked cool.
I think we'll end up playing it probably, honestly. Like probably film a video of it or
and
something.
Goose Game was great, so
yeah, absolutely.
I trust that they kind of know what they're doing. And again, I like that it's, you know, they haven't gone back to sort of the same well by the looks of it, even
not
just visually. It's like, oh, this looks like its own completely kind of new thing that was just clearly someone's passion project idea in there. So
yeah,
I liked the look of it too, personally. Yeah. Like, you know, I think this is God's country. I'm a Patreon. But
I'm a Patreon of God. I'm a Patreon of the country.
Oh.
Now, remind me.
Yeah.
If you would, please. If that's okay. What type of landscapes are in and what type of game is Kimuri?
It's Tokyo. It is the...
now we're talking.
Former... what is it called? Tango Gameworks. I think designer who split off... Like right before Ghostwire Tokyo came out, she made her own, started her own company, development company, and this was a CG trailer.
That's right.
Of a game where it's a bunch of like people with like katanas and stuff.
Parkouring. Lady with a cool helmet jumping in and saving some hostages.
Wait, hostages? No.
Were they hostages in a place, or they were like the cops were after them or something?
No, that's something different.
They were just like sort of like they were more cartoony design. Oh. And they were like, like running up and down walls and shit.
Oh, well, there was a lady with a cool helmet in a different trailer there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I remember that one.
I don't remember what that game's called.
But this one is like, it's weirdly similar-ish to Ghostwire.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're running around catching little yokai, little Japanese ghosts,
right.
And getting their powers. And I looked this up because it's got like a website and everything at the moment. There's a bit more information on there. You can buy merch of it already, which I found interesting.
Okay.
A gameplay trailer yet.
It doesn't have a publisher either, so
right.
I might get that merch in case it becomes very limited edition.
Well, it's it seems to be, I think, story, because it's like a lot of these trailers where you don't see gameplay and you know, so often you're like, oh, this looks great, and then you realize it's like a battle royale, you know, online deathmatch only thing, and you're like,
sure.
So I was trying to figure out, like, before I get too excited about this, is it, and it seems like it's, you can play with friends, but it's single player, maybe story driven, I think. It didn't really explicitly say whether it was like a roguelite or online battle royale or what. But
maybe I did take a nap because I don't remember this one. But that
it was pretty
brief.
It was brief. It was like 1 minute.
But she came out. She was like doing her big fun dances.
Oh, I remember her. Yeah, she seemed fun.
Yeah. So she's like the director of this company.
Okay.
Now yeah. But yeah.
Because there were a fair few trailers during this whole thing that were that sort of like, it's CG, it's on a spaceship.
Yeah.
By, like Matthew McConaughey introduced one called...
Is that Exodus?
It was Exodus.
Right.
Was that one that had the Muse song at the end of it?
Yeah.
Black Hole Superstar or
Supermassive
what's it called?
Black Hole.
Supermassive Black Hole.
Which I saw someone else mention, like, hey, isn't that cool? It's like shows it's like a big budget, big thing, and it's like a Muse song? Really?
Yeah.
It shows that it's like, and kind of gameplay-wise, it's about 10 years out of date, if
that
at
was
least.
A lot of these things of like, yeah, space, a lot of the same sort of tone and beats in the trailer.
Weird faces.
Yeah.
Bad-looking faces in Exodus and that other one that I don't remember the name of that was another similar-looking sort of space game.
Yeah.
That had, oh, that another guy, like, introduced really sincerely and he's like, I love that I got to make this, da da da.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, like, it, they just, like, I don't know what it is, but there's, like, a cartoony style of face that's going around at the moment that I just don't love the look of.
Totally, totally agree. I think, because Exodus is former BioWare employees
right.
forming their own new company. So maybe it's a budget thing. Like they don't have, I mean, obviously Mass Effect Andromeda did not have good facial animations either. But I think I have to assume it's like maybe the people who are leading this new company are not the animators from BioWare. They're, you know,
I feel like it's just a stylistic thing that's sort of in vogue at the moment too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that halfway between not quite striving for realism because you're not going to really be able to hit that with your budget, but making it a little more. I know what you mean.
There was one, No Rest for the Wicked, which is the one by the Ori people,
which looks
amazing in a lot of ways. Very animated, sort of a isometric, maybe Diablo-looking kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And it looked incredible, hand-painted, like really awesome looking, other than, again, this same type of cartoon face that just doesn't register an emotion for me.
It's,
and I normally am able to look at anyone's face and immediately know the exact emotion that they are feeling.
All right.
Impressed, both of you, right now. I can tell.
The Prince of Persia game had that same style.
Yes.
It's like a it crept into, I feel like, kids animation at some point.
It's like a cousin of that, like, you know, the corporate 2D, whatever they call that.
Between that and like Fortnite. Yeah. It feels it lacks character, which is a terrible thing to do with characters.
Which if it's something that's sort of like striving for realism as well in terms of like its plot and it's not being very goofy, then it sort of really does stick out.
Yeah.
That's just regular goofy. That's not very goofy.
Oh, okay. What about that? I'm so embarrassed at the noise I made. Yeah. I was trying to be very goofy and you know what? It makes you feel similar. Didn't like the look of Exodus, and it was funny seeing Matthew McConaughey be like, I just learned about video games, and this is the best one I've ever heard of.
I just learned about getting paid to come up on stage and talk about it.
You know, the great thing about video game ideas, you keep getting older and they stay exactly the same.
I mean, that's exactly what we're saying for this thing that's a celebration of the art form, and you're getting a guy in there who... It's like, imagine a presenter at the Oscars being like, I've literally never seen a movie. Anyway, Best Picture goes to La La Land.
I know. You can see the conversation 15 minutes beforehand of like, sorry, honey. I forgot I got to do this thing. I'll be back in half an hour. Yeah.
Which I guess was the good thing about Keanu Reeves is like he sold his involvement.
I guess so.
And Simu Liu was like, I love video games. I play StarCraft still. But then the thing he was there to present was like just a shitty ass looking ripoff of like, what was it? It was like...
It was some other strategy game.
Yeah, it was a strategy game.
I don't know.
I can't remember the setting.
They weren't impressive, those ones, which again, I've seen ads for Benedict Cumberbatch just really spruiking his ass off for this game that I don't remember the name of, but it's one of those generic kind of like War of Wars or whatever.
Oh, sure.
And he's like...
World of Tanks or something.
I think the really incredible thing about this game is that you get to explore history and connect with other people all around the world. Like, just fuck, man. Which country didn't you pay tax to?
But you know what? If you play video games and love them, that's just like a thing that you do and enjoy. And then the thing of like you're famous and you know that if you're doing something like this, people are going to be like, oh, he's just here for the money. And so I guarantee like if you're in a position where you had to put into
words
what you love about video games, people would be like, this Adam Knox guy's never played a fucking video game in his life.
I'd do it because if I was a Hollywood actor and I was there, I go up and I'd be like, name a game.
Yeah.
Anyone from the crowd. You guys are the crowd. I'm the Hollywood actor.
Okay, sure.
Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
2004.
Oh, yeah.
Name a game. Yeah. I've got a moon boot on. Name a game.
StarCraft : Brood War.
Brood War? Well, the original StarCraft came out in 98. Brilliant year for games. A huge year. Yeah. I think that the expansion pack, Brood War, came out in 1999, the following year.
I think so, yeah.
Warcraft 3, 2001.
He was just saying before he can read any emotion, and I'm really starting to doubt that's the case.
The music's playing so loud. Name a game!
You've learned sign language, so you can go over the top of the music.
Oh, that is smart.
I just can't do numbers. So holding up to play. A lot of those ones. But anyway, that No Rest for the Wicked looked really cool to me. Yeah. I like those. Well, I only played Ori and the Blind Forest, the first one, but it was cool.
Oh, the second was great. I really, really enjoyed it. And you're right, the visual style, character, facial, illustration aside, is like amongst the best games ever.
Unbelievable looking.
Yeah.
Mm. Announcing one game is good, but you know what's even better?
A billion games.
Announcing five games in one ad spot.
That's pretty
take
good.
That, Jeff Keighley.
You know what happened here? I caught the first one. What was the first one they announced?
Jet Set Radio.
Jet Set Radio, and then I looked away. And then,
well, that'll be the full amount of information in there. And you know what? Not an unreasonable expectation.
It's really kicking off on this other wall in my living room.
I probably tabbed over to the Discord, but I literally missed the other four games.
Oh,
that's
right.
That's funny.
I loved the setup of this was bit like, because weirdly, I got like a shred of reception down at Meredith.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this was like the only, this was the thing that really like sort of broke through of all the announcements of like, wow, Sega announced that they've got five long, long, long dormant IPs are currently in development with new installments. Mm. But the conceit of this trailer made no sense.
Bizarre.
It's a couple sitting on the couch. Clear, and we can tell from the sound coming from the TV that they're playing Sonic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then I think they were like, did you charge the controllers? And she's like, no. And she's like, just joking. Of course I fucking did.
Right.
Something like that. Yeah. I don't remember.
And then there's a citywide power outage.
Yes.
That all their lights go off. All the lights, we can see through the window, in citywide blackout.
Yep.
And then do we see this on their TV? All of a sudden, then there's just trailers for a new Jet Set Radio playing.
I feel like a portal opened or something. I don't remember the specifics.
Yeah, I don't
but it'd be
either.
Weird to remember that and not have it be in there. If it didn't happen, then I don't understand what the television is.
A electromagnetic portal opened and started showing trailers.
Footage didn't even, we didn't even see the context of this happening in the scene. We just saw this footage.
On the screen.
I think
this didn't
happened.
Make any sense.
Yeah.
Well, clearly we don't remember it too. Maybe it makes perfect sense, but we all looked away. But so they, it was, do you remember the era of the Capcom 5 on the GameCube? Doesn't matter if you don't. But I'm a real gamer.
Yeah.
Name a game!
Capcom 5.
The Capcom 5. It was like Killer 7, Beautiful Joe.
Oh, yeah.
PR08, Resident Evil 4 was one of them, and some Dragon game that never came out.
Okay.
But it was like, oh, Capcom are making games for the GameCube. Wii, they're right.
That's
them all
right.
at once.
And this GameCube had a Wii?
Similar, yeah, dude. They were Capcom knew.
They were ahead of their time. Damn.
Had a similar vibe to that. Where so they announced a new Jet Set Radio.
Jet Set Radio.
Yes.
A new Shinobi. And that one was 2D?
Yep.
Yeah. A new Golden Axe.
A new Golden Axe.
Like a 3D brawler it looked like.
Yep.
Don't look away, Ben.
Which looks cool.
I wish I'd seen what these looked like.
A new Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, yep. Sure. I can imagine that.
And a new Streets of Rage.
That's right.
Which had Streets of Rage 4 already, and this one looked like a 3D one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that is Streets of Rage is, yeah, there's already been sort of the revival of that.
Yeah.
Which
right.
I don't think they did, but.
Jet Set Radio has been rumored for a little while, and right. Bomb Rush Cyberpunk came out this year.
Yeah, that is odd to have, yeah, like the again, we said with this with other games this year, like the company being like, okay, if you're not going to make a sequel, we'll make our own remixed version.
And they must have seen that coming out and been like, God damn it.
Yeah. These motherfuckers.
Although I will say that this new Jet Set Radio looked better than Bomb Rush Cyberpunk.
There were only like moments of it, but yeah, the Jet Set Radio style was back and updated.
Right. I thought it looked the same.
Right, okay.
There's a guy grinding on a bike rail, and I was like, yeah, that's...
I think it had more detail.
Yeah,
to,
yeah.
Which I bounced off of Bomb Rush because of...
I forget the name of the DJ from Jet Set Radio. I think whatever it is. Yeah, he was there and it was someone grinding on a rail. I don't know if this is a remake or a new one or whatever they're doing.
I think that the the whole thing of it has been that they're new installments. I believe that was kind of the whole point.
Because I'd seen people talking about it as a remake, but I feel like they just did jump to that conclusion. I could be wrong, but because they just said the words Jet Set Radio rather than Jet Set Radio 3 or whatever.
I didn't see the end of the trailer, but I feel like it would have been
all the middle.
Just walking around your house, just like, I got to look at everything.
You saw one fifth of it.
I feel like it would be pretty clear if this was a remaster or a remake package, or just if they were all remasters.
I sort of think that was the whole point of it, was like, these are all back and they're all in development right now. So just a remaster, you would assume it's just like, that's its own thing of just like, hey, this is...
Certainly not a remaster.
So yeah, definitely wholly new titles.
Okay.
Yep. Shinobi, I thought, looked a bit sort of flash animation. It's kind of like 2D. Right.
That's the one that I have no history with.
Same.
Too,
so. Right. Max, I thought, looked cool. Streets of Rage, eh. And a new Crazy Taxi, if they pull that off, I'm pumped.
It was, they were driving a taxi around and a cop car as well in this trailer. And like, you'd imagine it would have a lot of like, even just aesthetically, like the app ordering, whatever, rideshare stuff.
Those first two are great, but they're very like, you know, they're arcade ports, so they're fun to play, but they're pretty limited in terms of, you know, sitting down by yourself and playing them at a console. So if they've kind of fleshed it all out a lot more and put a lot more stuff in it.
Yeah, well,
for the Xbox too.
When I personally watched the trailer just now.
Oh yeah.
you were looking right at it?
Yeah.
Okay. We thought you were asleep.
It did still look pretty arcadey, the Crazy Taxi one. Like, from what I remember.
Oh, I just more mean like the amount of content that is in the console versions of it. It's just like a time limit of 2 minutes. Absolutely. There's like a couple of levels. There's not, if you're wanting to,
they had the like,
there's not like a story mode or like a, you know, much progression in
there
it.
There was like Crazy Pyramid or Crazy Box or whatever it was where you could do some little challenges. But you're right, it was like 18 Wheeler. Like, there were a few Dreamcast games that were just like, this is the arcade game.
It's a straight up port of a thing that you put $2 in and you get 5 minutes on.
And for some reason the Dreamcast didn't pan out. But that was really cool.
That was a cool announcement.
Complete the surprise.
That's the sort of stuff that you love to see.
Yeah.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by our friends over at Manscaped.
They can be your friends too, because they're willing to offer you 20% off and free shipping if you use the code FILTHY on one of their great products, such as Lawnmower 5.0.
Yep. Beard Hedger
1.0.
Yep.
They perfected it out of the gate.
Weed Whacker, I believe, 2.0. Yep. Or any of that other stuff that you, it comes in liquid form and you splash on your bits.
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole ton of really good gift-based stuff that you can get as well, like the performance package, which has sort of a variety of different essentials. Lots of good things. We use them personally.
Yeah.
And if you want to grab a last-minute gift or treat yourself to something nice, Manscaped, go use the code FILTHY, 20% off what you get and free shipping.
Yeah. Yep.
They make a great gift, and if you're anything like me, you've left it until the last minute.
You don't want your people in your country to know that you've left it till the last minute to shop for gifts on the internet. That's why you pretend to be in France using the power of NordVPN, which is, for our dollar, the greatest VPN available.
That's
you're
right.
Like Ridley Scott, you're like, I don't care what the French think of me. I'm going to change my location on my computer to being from there while I do all my shopping on the 24th of December.
Still using my American accent. Joaquin Phoenix really doing the VPN version of acting.
Oh, yeah.
Going over and he's like, I'm French.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you liked that or didn't, you can have a look at NordVPN, their stuff, by going to nordvpn.com/filthy. They'll give you, I believe it's 4 free months off of a 2-year subscription for the service that really is like a pretty essential internet function to have.
It's a tool. It's a security tool. It is also, like we say, a nice to have thing for changing your location for various reasons.
Great apps in my experience. They're on a ton of different devices.
Yeah.
Have a look at
It really simplifies it. I think at one stage in time, a long time ago, VPNs were the domain of uber tech heads, and this is like, just you install it, you log in, boom, you're
done.
You're surfing safe.
Yeah. Super simple and smooth. Go to nordvpn.com/filthy if you don't believe us, and have a look for yourself. And if you do believe us, still go there.
Yeah,
get a deal. And if you're a Mana fan, which I think we were all not, we all played Secret of Mana for like ages ago.
Yes.
For a Patreon bonus thing.
Oh, and we did?
I did not like it. And Visions of Mana is the new one.
Yeah, it looks way better than the older ones. Like, it is
for sure.
Stylistically, I think it's, you know, it drew me in for sure. I kind of was like, yeah, I didn't know particularly what it was at first, but was like, okay, the style's nice. It's like the kind of, yeah, fantasy JRPG sort of semi-cel shaded sort of look. This could be the one for me to get me into this series.
Mm. Maybe.
Yeah.
People do love that. Like, it's got, you know, a lot of fans, and it's very, been held so up long in very between, high regard. And
yeah.
Yeah, so just them doing a new one is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's
been
like 20 years. I think the last one they put out was maybe on the Game Boy Advance or something.
Right.
Right.
So, like, it's been a long time, and yeah, games are different. Rise of the Ronin, disproving the idea that games are different by being Ghost of Tsushima 2. Sort of.
Yeah. This is a Team Ninja game?
It is.
Yeah, yeah.
Which even they're going back to sort of their same well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
As very Neo.
Yeah.
It looked very Neo, looked very Ghost of Tsushima, like cinematic style was very similar to that thing. And obviously the setting is like a similar setting.
Yeah.
It
Team Ninja, are they Wolong as well?
They are.
Yes. Yeah. It's weird.
It's gotta be two different teams, right? Like
But still
So it should be Team Ninja.
Team Ninja and Team Pirates.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you remember.
2006.
Yeah, I was going to say 03 maybe, but yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah.
I was a little late to the game.
This is one of those things that, like, Ghost of Tsushima coming out, it was like, oh, this looks cool, a video game set in this world.
Finally an Assassin's Creed game in Japan was like the,
yeah, and like how quickly it can turn into, like, my brain switches off now because this has become such an oversaturated.
And they're very different eras and eras of Japan.
Mm. Yeah.
Eras and areas of Japan.
I just thought you were giving us two read-throughs.
I really tried to say it right the first time, but I'm a fucking Patreon, man.
Right, but it is still, because it's like fall of the Meiji era or the start of it. Like, it's a little more recent,
like,
right?
You got some guns and shit in there.
Yeah. But then, yeah, like, and it's maybe my fault for having played all of them, but, like, I played Neo 1 and 2, and I played Ghost of Tsushima, and I played some of Wolong. And Sekiro, you know, like, it's very similar.
Yeah, it's turning into space shooter kind of thing where, like, there are differences in amongst them, but there just is something about the broad strokes of that aesthetic now that when the trailer starts off, you sort of do feel, you feel your mind going Ben Van Elmo. About other tabs and other walls you
like
be looking at.
The Ishin remake this year as well.
Right. There's been a bit of a glut of them. But also, like, the best ones are some of the best games that exist. So
And like, yeah, absolutely. Just, it could be great.
Yeah. Being a Ronin's fucking sick.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't know yet.
A lone wolf.
I'm still right flat on the ground. I'm yet to rise. I'm fucking gross bread.
Flat Ronin. That's the game I'd like to play.
Similar-ish in terms of, like, gameplay, I guess. This Souls-like looking thing was Black Myth Wukong.
Oh, yeah, yes.
That looked really cool to me for some reason.
I almost put that in the bag of those similar games, but
it's got a bit more flavor to it. This is a unknown. I think it's like their first thing.
There's some history to them of some kind that I don't know about. Right. So continue.
So I remember they put out a trailer for this maybe 3 years ago, and it was a like a job app.
It was a recruitment.
It was a recruitment drive.
Trying to find.
It's like a Chinese developer, I think. It was like, look, we want to make a game. It's clearly I think Sekiro inspired. Like. Mm. Those massive scale bosses and the sort of grotesque version of mythology.
Right. Yeah, but it's got that little bit more of flavor to it.
Yeah.
In the villain design.
It's the monkey. It's the Journey to the West
kind
of story as the background.
Cool looking version of monkey.
Yeah. I'm keen for this.
I thought it looked good too for some reason. Yep. Similar to, I didn't mind the look of that. It was called like the first Berserker and then Kazan or something like that. First Berserker, Limewire. That looked fine. Another Souls sort of thing.
Yeah,
but we've seen with Lies of P that, like, you can make a good Souls
absolutely
thing if you're not from. And the curtains rise and a bunch of smoke comes out and people carry out on one of those things they used to carry emperors on.
Yep.
The man himself.
Prince Ali.
Kojima Fabulous. It's
the rock star of video games.
Hideo Kojima takes the stage.
Yes.
And Jordan Peele is there too, who is in some way collaborating with him.
I think he is on the cinematics and the stuff, the direction of this
which is interesting. It's the Xbox cloud in some way powered Xbox thing called, yes, OD.
Right. It's some sort of collaborative, like I guess Death Stranding had that sort of like background community thing, but this I guess is much more part of, I assume, the gameplay.
Don't know. They really didn't say much about it other than this will be unlike anything ever.
Right.
And then he was also like, it's a game though.
Yeah. One of those incredibly frustrating trailers where at least a cinematic trailer, you get a bit of an idea of like the tone of the, you know, writing and story. This was like, what is this? Why is this?
I didn't hate it, to be honest.
No, I liked it a lot.
There were three actors just right big, tight close-ups of their faces doing some sort of robot thing or something.
Well, you could see the reflection in their eye, a door opening and them being like, ah!
Like an interrogation.
Sure.
They were having to like repeat some sort of phrase that it was very Blade Runner sort of like, if you can't say this phrase, you're a robot type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I forget the names other than Hunter Schafer was one of them.
Yeah, right.
And then two other actors. One of them was from Dungeons and Dragons, the movie from this
Chris
year.
Pine? Hugh Grant.
Not here. It's two for two wrong.
Okay. I'm out.
But I liked the tone of it, and I'm interested to see.
Well, remember how fucking weird the Death Stranding trailers were.
Mm. Yeah.
And like had almost nothing to do with the gameplay in the end.
Yeah.
But I just think that it's so much better than most of the other trailers we saw. And some of those were good.
I'm fascinated to see what it is, like what the game part of it actually is.
Yep.
Here's my guess.
Mm.
A big guess.
Mm.
It's the cloud only.
Mm-hmm.
You need a camera to play this game.
Okay.
You need your face to be on camera, mm-hmm. and it's using some form of facial recognition, and the way you move your face is the game.
That would be cool.
Yeah, right.
Purely because that's what I was watching them do.
I think that's it. It's like if this is just a third-person action-adventure game, then this trailer is very annoying.
Right.
You know, but if this trailer is just like, this is giving you I think that's what I was a bit like, you're right, the Death Stranding trailers were quite obtuse, but they were like these interesting little short films in their own right. And this just, to me, was like, just didn't grab me beyond being like, yeah, I want to know what this is.
And it's
what the hell this is.
I think it's just a teaser sort of thing too, you know.
But yeah, I think along with you, Nox, it probably is closer to the gameplay than we realize, because we're not thinking of what kind of, like, we don't know what kind of game it is because there isn't one yet.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cloud-based, maybe it is about, reading other, like it's projecting or streaming other people's faces.
It also could just be complete bullshit that it's anything to do with the cloud. Like, remember Crackdown 3? They were like, it's part of the cloud. And it's like, oh, but this is Crackdown 3. Like, it could be nothing.
But it would be very Kojima to, lean into that in that way. Like, even all the, the social stuff in
Death Stranding. Like, he did Boktai, which had that, little light meter
would
read the amount of sun in the area you were playing it.
Well, I mean, that game, there was that indie game Before Your Eyes where it was about blinking.
Mm-hmm.
Blink, that was an interaction with the game.
He's always had
that fucking weird thing of like, I think with maybe it was just 4 or something, Metal Gear Solid, he was like, if you die, it erases the game disc or something. Like,
It's
crazy. And Jordan Peele being involved, he makes good movies.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah.
So interested to see more of that.
It really teased my interest.
Yeah.
Which I think was the point.
And I think you'd feel exactly the same, surely, about the new Arcane game called Blade.
Named after
the vampire superhero, Marvel's Blade.
Yeah. No, not really. Although I like Arcane. I really...
And this is the good Arcane. This isn't the vampire... What was it called?
Oh, Redfall.
Second vampire game out of a studio named Arcane, but they have two different splinters of Arcane.
This is... Deathloop.
This is Deathloop people, Arcane. This is Prey Arcane.
I mean,
I believe.
I do like Blade as a character. I like those movies. Like, they were pre-MCU and they were, a bit
not
more.
Not for long. There's another one coming.
Yes. Well, maybe, right? I feel like it's hit development hell with Mahershala Ali as Blade.
Possibly.
I think it got taken off the slate or something.
Shit. But they teased Disney him in the Eternals.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe that's why. It bled through. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not as curious as OD, but I'm sure I'll play this game.
I loved Deathloop.
Yeah.
So just that it's... I like the not a big MCU person, but yeah, the world of Blade is cool. So yeah,
and
cool
the Spider-Man
video games in that world could be fun. Yeah,
the Spider-Man Insomniac games are good because they get to be separate from all that.
Yes,
I'm looking forward to their Wolverine one.
Mm-hmm.
This is very similar to that, where it was just like silhouette. Da da da. Here's a logo.
Was Wolverine touched on in the Game Awards at all?
No.
Last that's E3.
2025, they Summer said, Game is Fest, the most recent thing, I think, of just them going like, yeah, it's going to take a little while.
Right.
And when they showed that little teaser, that was like, fuck all.
Yeah.
It was like the blades coming out of his knuckles, which would fucking hurt.
Yeah.
What is Last Sentinel?
Some kind of cyborgy looking thing.
Yeah.
I thought this would have been up your alley, although maybe you were... dreaming of electric sheep.
Yeah, I don't think I watch this. I feel like they...
Era looking at wall.
You mean era looking at wall.
Taylor Swift, the eras to
her. Areas. I've got multiple areas is what I meant to
great
say.
Great eras, great
She's
eras.
Walking around that stage. She's going to different areas.
Yeah.
I'm in my kitchen area.
Yeah, I think this guy, they had like a pedigree. They had done something else recently, but I don't think I played that either, so it didn't quite capture me.
Yeah, I thought this looked... I remember thinking this looked interesting. It was just like a... Yeah, it just had, seemed to have a little something more going on.
Right.
Well, speaking
Cyborgs fighting for survival.
That is interesting.
Speaking of pedigrees.
Yeah?
Woof, woof, let me eat it up. And also, Hello Games has a pedigree now for No Man's Sky, and they have learned nothing...
Seriously.
Because they get Sean Murray center stage yet again.
Awkwardly maybe saying more than he's meant to. Oh, he was actually kind of restrained in this one.
He was fine. Yeah. And like,
but also, I sort of weirdly respect that more than if they were like, no, make your little game. Yeah. It's probably going to be...
Well, they did do that.
Nothing.
They released like a really small scale indie platformer, I think, like two or 3 years ago. And it was like, people liked it. But they obviously went straight back to doing the No Man's Sky
and
upgrades.
And their promise of No Man's Sky did sort of end up, you know, they did end up building that game up. The problem with it was just, it felt kind of more like, it was them saying it, but it got put under this sort of microscope that it maybe shouldn't
like
have.
Like a macroscope as a well, right? Yeah. That like blew it up bigger than,
That's more what I meant. Yeah, and so...
A magnifying glass.
I think
a macroscope.
I think the fact that they came good on that game...
Double noculars.
I think the fact that they came good on that game eventually, they maybe feel like they have the license to...
I think they've got the goodwill back,
sure. 100%,
This is the funny thing about this, though, is that, like, before... So this new game is called Light No Fire. Before it, they showed a trailer, like a celebration trailer of No Man's Sky, showing all the updates, showing all the patches and shit.
Yeah.
And it's really funny to remind people of the amount of work that needed to happen after release to No Man's Sky and then be like... Let's get back on the hamster wheel, baby.
Yeah.
It's also funny because you can imagine almost in their heads, this is the smaller scale version because No Man's Sky was like a procedurally generated universe.
Mm. Right.
And then this one is just, hey, it's only one planet. Right. It's just one Earth, everyone.
It's only one to scale planet with a living and breathing ecosystem. Yeah.
That he specifically said, this is bigger.
Right.
Because like they did the whole universe, but that was all this is like a more detailed environment, and the idea is it's a big multiplayer game, which people thought No Man's Sky was in a different way. But this is actually that.
It's literally that MMORPG.
I believe
on
everyone's
space.
On the same thing.
But with
a story, right? It's like the freedom of a... What do they say in the trailer? It's like the freedom of a sandbox with the deep progression of an RPG.
Right,
I think
it's
kind of... So it's like... You know, Minecraft is like big and infinite and you can do whatever, but, you know, you can bounce off it pretty quickly. This is like, I assume...
There's like a persistent story.
And yeah, there's maybe... But I thought this looked cool.
Yeah, I'm keen to... Like, again, if they can pull it off, great.
Yeah.
If they don't, I'm still curious to see what it is.
And they probably will eventually. Like, I guess they're probably just going to be a little bit more realistic as they get closer to launch about what's in it and maybe be a bit clearer with the roadmap, because I think that was the other thing too, was that No Man's Sky launched and a part of the problem was I think people kind of felt like that was going to be it because there wasn't as much communication. But now you have to assume they'd be like, Year one, here's what we'll add.
Yeah,
year two, here's what we'll add.
And like with No Man's Sky, Hello Games, part of the reason that No Man's Sky was such a big deal is like, oh, here's this small studio doing this. No Man's Sky has existed for years and they've kept updating it without making you pay for those updates, but they've done VR versions. It's been on new platforms.
Yep.
They've it's sold well for the whole time.
Yeah.
So they are a bigger studio now.
Yeah, yeah.
Making this really cool seeming game that I've already got some anthrax in an envelope just in case it's bad.
And it's fantasy too. That's the other thing.
Yes,
it's not,
right.
I thought that was cool. It's not going back to the same well again.
It is so ambitious.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it is the size and scale of a real planet, and you can walk in real time for months and you'll only be, you know, still in the same country.
And
like,
it does seem like one of those sort of, you know, set up your village, you can craft things and whatever type of things, similar to a game which was already known about but got released, maybe, Lego Fortnite.
Oh, right.
Which, it's not just Fortnite. I thought it was Fortnite, but everyone looks like Lego.
Yeah, it's Legos now.
It's different. It's like a, get this, with Lego, building sort of thing. It's more of a crafting survival type of game, a co-op sort of thing.
Right. So it's not this, is this within Fortnite or this is its own?
So it's within Fortnite.
Right.
But Fortnite now is expanding more and more to being just this sort of platform within which to play games that are Fortnite adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
Like I went and turned on Fortnite and played some of Lego Fortnite over the weekend, and the fucking menu, like there's this weird page that wasn't there when we were playing it during lockdown, that has dozens and dozens and dozens of other games within it that a lot of them seem to be, you know, like user made.
Yeah.
I think similar to Roblox. I've never played that, but I get the impression this is what Roblox is. And it looks like the worst fucking Netflix equivalent of just like all these things of like YouTuber Life 2 and Hunt the Worm and like whatever, all these games.
Dreams-esque, right?
Like, kind of, yes.
Yeah.
Right. But so Lego Fortnite actually seemed really cool.
It's a real one. It's made by someone.
I don't know who's
Epic,
making it.
Maybe.
Yeah, but it's you go into a very Minecraft-style procedurally generated world, but you're not digging. You're building. You're building a little village. Some people come to visit you at night. And if you build enough beds and stuff, you can recruit them. They'll help you out, gather more stuff, maybe kill some monsters.
Okay.
And you expand and explore this world. And, you know, it's similar to some other games that have done this sort of thing before, but it seemed really well made. And I actually was kind of having fun playing it.
Right. Cool. Like almost like a god sim, like a...
No, you're just a little Lego bloke.
Right. Okay.
But hey, maybe you got a god complex. It could be that.
Sure. But you're like the head of the village and everything sort of expanding around you.
Kind of. You're helping out the most.
Or I guess, is that the goal? That is the goal, to like build a place to live and recruit people, and
that's kind of what you're doing. And then I haven't gotten too deep into it yet, but you're exploring and gathering and exploring further because you've gathered more, so you can gather more because you explored further,
right?
That
okay.
But you can do it just single player. I was just in a world, but you create your own world and then you can send out a code to your friends if they want to come visit, or you can have like a friend.
Very Minecraft world. Sounding
absolutely
yeah.
Cool. Cross with a bit of Fortnite. It plays or controls similarly to Fortnite.
Right, okay.
It's
but you're not running around shooting people.
No. Well, you can hurt monsters.
Okay.
There's like the little Lego skeleton guys.
Yeah.
You used to get with like the pirate ships.
Yeah, yeah.
You're slashing your swords at them.
Okay.
You're killing the little Lego spiders. But it's very child friendly, obviously.
Yep.
And very appropriate. And some of the Fortnite like skins and shit that you might have bought, they've translated them into
cool.
Lego versions.
Oh, that's cool.
So I already had a little Lego Ghost Rider.
Oh,
so I'm running
yeah.
around as him.
Yeah, that's cool.
that's
really cool.
No yeah. Lego Master Chief. And I paid money for fucking Fortnite Master Chief, which I was reminded of by booting this up, and immediately went, ah, fuck. Why'd I do that?
Lego Morty, I think, is what I would get.
No Lego Morty.
Oh, no.
No Lego Rick.
I wonder if there's Lego Peter Griffin. They've only just put him in.
Probably because he's new.
Yeah.
But it seemed cool. And so if you've got kids and they like their Roblox and their Fortnite and shit, they probably already tried Lego Fortnite. It had 1.5 million concurrent players when I
Whoa.
Went in.
God damn.
That's a lot of fucking people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
That's like half the globe, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a little off. You might have looked away during geography class. Would that be covered in geography? I guess that's more of like a sociology thing.
Yeah. SOS. It'd be in SOS.
Oh, man, I hated SOS.
I liked SOS.
I did not like the acronym.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was so
sick.
Sexual.
So yeah, Lego Fortnite is something you can honestly have a little crack.
Yeah, okay. Free to play.
Same as Fortnite, completely free. And they'll monetize you by getting you to buy Lego guys.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Speaking of being free, well, that reminds me of a certain T-Rex.
Oh.
He's gotten out?
He's gotten out.
Wait, she's gotten out? Oh, no. This problem's bigger than we thought.
Yes.
I saw a very funny tweet that was like, you know how people just get pissed off of any video game for being woke now, no matter what's in it? The Jurassic Park. So there was a game, Jurassic Park Survival trailer. It's a Jurassic Park game that looks like a first person kind of Mirror's Edge-y thing where you're running away from dinosaurs. And someone had replied to the trailer for it on Twitter being like, "Ugh, video games these days, I bet the T-Rex is trans." And then someone underneath being like, "That's literally the plot of the film."
That's
so this looks like it is, you play a new character, but it's set around the film?
I think they're stuck in Isla Sorna, and they were going to the set, like literally the kitchen and shit that the kids get.
Yeah. There's like a close-up of Sam Neill's hat on the ground in the rain.
Right. But you're some other lady who maybe works there or whatever, I guess.
Which is cool. I'd rather play that that's kind of set around the first film than be like, oh, this is a new,
and you know,
you
what?
Know, a new place where the Jurassic Park dinosaurs have gotten to.
The fact that it's called Jurassic Park Survival rather than Jurassic World Survival does suggest that it is that.
Yeah.
I'd love for there to be a good Jurassic Park game.
Yeah.
Maybe well, this is it.
I'd love for... Oh, actually, the park management ones were like good park, like, you know, Jurassic World Evolution, I think they were called.
Yeah, yeah.
They were like totally fine games. But like, yeah, apart from Jurassic Park, the movie, nothing related has been anywhere near as good.
There was a game called Jurassic Park Trespasser that was a first person game similar to this, but you could have guns and shit, and it was fucked because they tried to incorporate physics into it. This is like 98 or something.
Mm.
And so you're like moving the mouse to like move your arm to like pick up a gun and then put it up towards the sky, and it didn't work.
Like early VR looking shit.
It was a cool idea though, but it just didn't work.
This could be all right. Who knows?
This could, with some good visuals.
I hope so.
Right.
If it's like, scary enough.
Yeah.
It could be
fun. I want to get spooked.
A couple of other little things before the big ending. We've not, and I guess we've perpetuated, we've not mentioned any of the winners and stuff, but you can look them up.
Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah, Baldur's Gate 3 won Game of the Year.
Alan Wake won Best Direction and Best Narrative, I think.
A bunch of them, but we'll have our own Game of the Year starting next week.
The only ones that matter.
Yeah, and we'll dedicate enough time to each.
Yes.
Let me tell you that. That's a promise.
We will send emails to all of the top 10 in our lists, and if they reply, we'll read out in full verbatim what they send back.
Dear Filthy Casuals, Baldur's Gate 3 is currently out of office for the holidays.
Cease and desist.
A few other things. God of War Valhalla was announced and is out this week.
God of War Ragnarok Valhalla.
Yeah.
All of the words.
God of War Ragnarok Valhalla is...
Viking man.
DLC, a free update.
Free DLC, cool. Roguelite mode, right?
I think that's it. Like a horde mode, they would have called it back in the day, but you're killing more things. The combat in the game was really fun.
I'm looking
forward to giving this a little crack. I think there's a bit more mild story stuff. You're Kratos still.
And you're
Doing some little, roguelike challenges.
Mm.
But very cool to have for free.
Yeah, total surprise. Yeah.
I think this Friday or something.
Right.
Because Resident Evil 4 VR came out last Friday, like during the Game Awards. I haven't had a chance to play that still, but I'm excited to. But that didn't get mentioned, so I don't know why I brought it up. A thing that I meant to bring up that also came out at the moment of the trailer was The Finals.
The Finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Esports looking first-person shooter arena game, right?
Yeah, I think the visual style of this is really cool. Like, it's very colorful and bright and fun, and the framing is like, fucking, not Running Man, but like Death Sport sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. It looked Overwatchy to me or something
like
that.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Well, like visually.
And in what it is, I think,
yes.
I think it's that sort of thing.
Yep.
But I haven't tried this yet either.
Right. I've seen, some of our Patriots have been playing this and enjoying it. It's fun. I think, maybe it was like, it's like 4-on-4 or something. Yeah, which is more of that Overwatch like team deathmatch arena thing. But yeah, looks cool, and it's out. Is it free to play?
Yes, I believe so.
I think I'll give this a crack over the summer probably.
Well, during the summer, you'll apparently be able to give Skull Plus Bones a crack, which is contractually obliged to come out.
Yeah.
Do you know this about it?
It's like the country
of Canada or something is like requires it to be made.
Right. Because of they got financial announcements. Yeah.
That's the reason it never died, is because they have to legally make it.
And so this is a Ubisoft game. Yeah. And this is, what was it, one point like a Assassin's Creed Black Flag spiritual successor single player game that is now basically Sea of Thieves.
I think it was always a multiplayer thing,
right?
But it used to be more like For Honor, more competitive ship fighting game.
Right.
I don't know if it's Sea of Thieves now, if it's still that, but there were like some Kraken looking things in this trailer and whatever. Mm-hmm. The fact that Ubisoft's games, when they're trying their hardest to make them good, feel like an obligation that they had to fulfill to make.
Yeah.
The fact that this one literally is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, I can't wait. I cannot wait. I do like to be a pirate though. And like Sea of Thieves, speaking of that sort of semi-cartoony style, it leans into that rather than realistic. And like, I mean, this is not the game, clearly, but a good pirate game would be fun.
Sea of Thieves is very fun.
Yeah, it is. It is. Like, and just like having one that is a little bit more grounded and maybe more single player narrative oriented would appeal to me. But
there was a game called
The Wind Waker. You're a pirate in that.
Well, there was, I think it ended up just being called Pirates of the Caribbean.
Really?
And it got its like license really late in the game, and it was going to be Sea Dogs, and there was a game called Sea Dogs, and this was a sequel, and it is an open world pirate game from like 2003 or something.
Right.
That
there was, I loved Sid Meier's Pirates, and
right,
that was it wasn't like a third person action game. It was like you'd sail around, and there was ship combat, but it was more like a, I don't know, like a sim ish kind of game, which I loved
too.
Yeah,
and then one last big reveal right at the end that I'd given up on. They played me like a fucking a fiddle is a small violin.
Certainly did.
And I'm a big violin, so they played me like a fucking double bass.
A cello.
Yeah, they played you like a cello at the end of the film Tar.
Of course, for anyone who didn't see the game TGA Game Awards, this game, of course, finally, it was Silk Song.
Got you.
No, it wasn't. That still wasn't announced, and people did still think it was going to be announced.
Yep.
Yeah, well, they always will until. But speaking of Tar, Capcom had talked to heaps about how Dragon's Dogma 2 was coming out and their big thing, and they were like, and I thought, no Monster Hunter. And then all of a sudden, here's a guy riding a little fucking weird looking dog type of bird.
Yeah.
Running away from a bunch of what you would call monsters.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially if you didn't know what they were.
Didn't appear to be hunting them.
No.
No.
They all appeared to be being hunted by a storm.
Yes, yeah. And tidal wave, a land tidal wave.
Monster Hunter Wilds.
Wilds, that's right.
Came up at the end.
This looks sick. Yeah. Like, because it was Rise added the little grappling sort of wire.
Yeah,
what was called, right?
Wire bugs,
I think they were, yeah.
And that was really, really fun. And having this even more, fast and fluid traversal stuff. This big, chunky, lizard bird thing.
Your horse, mount. Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they keep that sort of fluidity that they had in Rise with the wire bug stuff where...
Did you have a mount in Rise?
Right, yeah.
You could get on your Palamute, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But you also just the ease of traversal of like being able to sort of like zip over the top of a monster and using the wire bug to sort of like get back up quickly when you got knocked down, just kind of, I felt, made it so much more of an accessible experience.
Yeah.
For that being like maybe the first Monster Hunter I'd really, really engaged with. I hope they've kind of kept some of those ideas in there.
It certainly looked like it because you're like jumping from thing to thing on your horse bird.
Yeah.
And the density of like the smaller monsters in the little herds was really cool looking.
Totally. Just all of the visual design I thought was fantastic. Really, a step above a lot of what we saw during the during the presentation. I'm super keen for this.
Potentially an open world type of Monster Hunter game.
They've said that it is. Sort of like the official just little blurb or whatever that Capcom have done is like, cool. Yeah, open world.
Because you've got like a little pack on the back of your horse, bird, lizard,
bird, dog. Lizard.
that had like a sword in it or something. Right. Oh, no, it had a rifle in it and you had a sword on your back.
Oh, yeah.
And there was like a little bit that looked like maybe a tent pack or something. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So if it is open world, it would make sense that you can go and set up a camp somewhere else.
Yes.
Which would be great, having that being up to you rather than it being like, okay, well, you got to go all the way back around to the map and the other side.
The
sort of dynamic weather looking thing that they were maybe showing off could be cool for like monster migration patterns and having to like
and
really
like
hunt them over seasons. Or something would be sick.
Like a big monster that's like strong during thunderstorms and weak during
one of the things walking around got zapped by some lightning and gets charged up looking from it. Very brief trailer, and they've said we won't talk any more about it until like next summer, Northern Hemisphere season.
Right.
Right.
But 2025 was given as a year for it. I wouldn't expect to see it until the end of 25, honestly, probably.
Sure.
Yeah,
but if they're not even talking more about it for a while, but so...
That's not that far away, really. Like,
you know. It's like a year, really, I guess.
Yeah, it's about a year.
Well, a year and 2 weeks.
Yep.
Year and a fortnight.
Mm-hmm.
Year and a Lego fortnight. that's 6 years.
That's from earlier.
The ultimate measurement.
But yeah, that looked really cool. An actual surprise for me. I thought it looked like really pretty, especially this early on, I assume, for it. And the idea of another sort of shake up in the Monster Hunter thing is appealing.
Yeah.
And then the show ended.
And then the show. And then I got off the bus.
And then a black screen and you're just staring at the scariest video game of all.
You keep you keep staring at the wall you've been looking at throughout the whole show.
Yep.
Back to sleep.
If I hear something good, I'll turn my head.
But yeah, some good stuff in there. Some good announcements.
Yeah.
Lots of cool stuff things. I'm looking forward to seeing next year.
Yeah.
Those Sega games were a really nice surprise.
That was cool. Yeah.
And getting that Monster Hunter earlier than I thought we would now, that was also awesome. And Metaphor Reef Fantasio looked
I think
sick.
Really awesome.
Golden Idol sequel really piqued my interest at the time. And then, I mentioned to you guys, I missed it. I guess it was in the pre-show, but Pony Island 2 looks fucking fantastic. Really, really excited. Just such a, it's great to have truly like experimental person making games that have proven to be like fun experiences,
that is
not
still
just
right.
like a sort of, you know, doing it for the sake of the, you know, the experiment.
It's totally. Like, Inscription was like, you know, like card game, roguelike, computers evil, FMV. Like, it's a lot of check boxes that plenty of games have hit.
Yeah.
And it did them with so much more exciting heart to it.
And it had a story and surprises to it and like an overall just unique identity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that maybe is my most anticipated game, the GOAT.
I'm
going
to play Pony Island 1 over the...
Me too. American. So. I hope I like it.
Well, that is going to do us for this week and our wrap up of the Game Awards. Thank you for joining us.
We'll probably talk more about a couple of them. We'll have more thoughts about them and shit. Early 2024, we'll be doing a preview episode of the next year about video games.
Yes.
The 2 weeks before that are the 2 weeks after this. Mm-hmm. I think I've said that as clearly as I can.
Next week, we start our Game of the Year 2023 countdown.
That's right.
Over two episodes.
Big two-parter.
Each of our top tens going around the horn.
Yeah.
And you're going to find out what we all think is our personal Game of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty exciting concept. I'm glad to be the first to capture it.
We might have mentioned it already. If punters out there want to maybe try and guess, the game's its title starts with R and ends with Edfall.
A silly bugger.
The contrarians of video games. And also, not contrarian in a good way. Contrarian in a fucking stupid
way.
No, it's not contrarian in a good way. It'll be a fun time. Please join us. We're taking a real life break.
Yes.
During those 3 weeks is main reason why I bring it up. So if there's big news or something over the next 3 weeks, we're pre-recording those episodes. They'll still be coming out every week.
You're still going to get a new ep every week over the break.
That's right.
Including
on Patreon. Filthy Casuals. Nope. Patreon.com/FilthyCasualsPod.
Yeah. We've done a a game of the year, but for non-games. Yeah. I don't know what you'd call that, but
a look back.
Yeah,
the year that was.
Just the best of the best media of 2023. Yep. We've that's also a two-parter, so we put a lot of time and fun into that.
Yeah,
that'll be going up on the Patreon.
We'll be back the second week of Jan with normal episodes, but please keep safe and have fun.
Yeah,
yes. Over the holidays.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we'll see you next week anyway.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
the Game Award of the Year goes to Tommy Dasilo for fucking reminding me way too late that we do this at the end of every episode.
Yeah.
I'd clocked out. I was looking at the wall. I was looking at the wall. I looked away.
I meant to say, I'm having a nap. Get ready for the end.
It's nap time. Goodbye. Fuck.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.